Are you starting off the year on the worry train? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with some encouraging words.
Nobody's worried about things that happened yesterday. You're worried about things that'll happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. I might lose my job. I don't know what's going to happen with this sickness. I don't know what's going to happen with this, with that, with the other. We're worried about things in the future, things we don't know about. We don't worry about the past. The Lord says, don't do that. Just live in today. No matter what happens to you in this year, the God of peace will be with you. And peace is available to you as you trust Him.
He can heal every scar.
You have probably already wished someone a Happy New Year this year. God wants us to be happy. But why is it that so many people, even Christian people, are so unhappy? Could it be that a Happy New Year doesn't just happen? Could it be that there have to be some things that we do in order to experience a Happy New Year, to experience and appreciate the blessings from God in our lives? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us today. The message is entitled, Do You Really Want a Happy New Year? We aired part one last time. We'll have part two today. Right now, let's discover how we can be assured of a Happy New Year starting today. And it's a good day to start. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. Here again is Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Now, I think it's safe to say that if you are anxious, if you are worried, if you are bothered, if you are stressed, you're not going to be happy. And the Lord doesn't want us to live that way. And so we're going to see from this passage what it takes to really experience the happiness that God has for us. Three steps to a Happy New Year that you can start, I can start today. Number one, we can choose the right master. Do you really want a Happy New Year? Well, it starts by choosing the right master. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, but everyone is going to serve someone. And there's only one true and worthy master. His name is Jesus. See, in your heart, there's that throne. You ask yourself, who sits on that throne? Is it money? Is it pleasure? Is it me? Is it somebody else? Anyone other than Jesus, that king is going to fail you. That king will fail you. The only one who's true, the only one who's worthy is Jesus. So the very first step, if you want to have a Happy New Year, choose the right master. Second step, not only can we choose the right master, but we can seek the right master. Look at verse 31. He said, do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? Now remember, he's talking to people who are primarily farmers, people who have to deal with the weather, and if there's rain or if there's no rain, and those kinds of things. And these are people that don't have a lot of extra. There's no refrigeration. I mean, it's just like day to day. So they can be anxious about, well, where's my next meal coming from? What am I going to drink? What do I do for clothing? He said, for all these things, the Gentiles, those that don't know God, that's what they eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Hey, we can choose the right master, the Lord Jesus, and we can seek the right master. And He promises, I'll find Him when I search for Him with all my heart. Hey, it's a great privilege to seek the Lord. But secondly, it can be a great struggle to seek the Lord. A great privilege. I mean, it was like if we understood what a privilege it was, I mean, we would all just, every day we'd be seeking the Lord. But here's the thing, it's a struggle because your flesh doesn't want to do it. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says this, have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. Sorry, old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It takes discipline to seek the Lord, because there'll be days that you want to, and there'll be days that you don't want to. And so the days that you don't want to, what do? You just give into your flesh? No, you say, I'm taking charge and we're going to do this, even though I don't want to do it. Even though everything within me says, oh, let's just skip today. No, you discipline yourself to do it. If you're going to be great in this, great in that, great in the other, you got to put forth the time. Hey, bodily discipline, which a lot of us do or we know we need to do, that is only profitable in a little things, because pretty soon, you know who wins in the bodily discipline? Father Time, right? Charles Barkley said that. Father Time is undefeated. Pretty soon you're going to be broken down and fat and it's just coming, you know? You can fight it all you want. I'm a big proponent of fighting it, but it's coming. It's called gravity and it's coming for you. And that's just the deal. But see, godliness is profitable on all things, and being disciplined in your time with the Lord. Discipline in prayer, discipline in Bible study, and say, God, I'm going to seek you first in my life in this new year. I'm going to wake up earlier. Hey, what is that? You know, some people get the idea, well, you know, I'm going to spend an hour a day with the Lord, and that's, I'm going to get up an hour earlier. You probably are not going to do that. That's like saying, you know, I hadn't worked out in a long time, but I'm going to run a marathon tomorrow. You're not going to do that. Why don't you make a commitment to say, I'm going to take 15 minutes in the morning, very first thing in the morning, spend that with the Lord, 15 minutes. See, that's a doable thing. That's a doable thing. And I'm going to read the word and I'm going to pray and I'm going to have a program. I'm going to read a few Psalms a day. Maybe if you read 5 Psalms a day, you read through the book of Psalms every month. If you read a proverb a day, you read through the book of Proverbs every month. I've tried to make that a practice of my life. Read Psalms, read Proverbs every day. And then you add a book in the New Testament, you add a book in the Old Testament, you can do your Bible reading, you can pray through as you read, but you're going to make a commitment. As David said, Psalm 132, I will not give sleep to my eyes nor slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. I am committed to this, and I'm not going to go to sleep until I have my time with the Lord. If I miss it in the morning, then I'm going to hit it in the evening because I'm committed. The Apostle Paul said this, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I buffet my body and make it my slave. Don't misread that. He doesn't say I buffet my body, because a lot of us have that down. Yeah, I buffet my body often. But I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. The Apostle Paul wasn't going to let his flesh dictate what he did. He was going to say to his flesh, this is what we're doing. Get in line. And he was disciplined to do it. Hey, you got to have that, because there are going to be times that you don't feel like seeking the Lord. Even though you know this is a zillion times better than riding on Air Force One with the president, but my flesh doesn't want to do it. So you have to push through. You've heard me talk about George Mueller. I read a book about him not too long ago. I love this quote that he had. He was obviously speaking to a group of people, but George Mueller said this, according to my judgment, the most important point to be attended to is this, above all things, see to it that your souls are happy in the Lord. Other things may press upon you. The Lord's work may even have urgent claims upon your attention, but I deliberately repeat, it is of supreme and paramount importance that you should seek above all things to have your souls truly happy in God Himself. Day by day, seek to make this the most important business of your life. This has been my firm and settled condition for the last 35 years. For the first 4 years after my conversion, I knew not its vast importance, but now, after much experience, I especially commend this point to the notice of my younger brethren and sisters in Christ. The secret of all true effectual service is joy in God having experiential acquaintance and fellowship with God himself. That was the secret of Mueller. Mueller, who is a great man of faith, a great man of prayer, a great man of the word. Mueller, whom God used in such tremendous ways. It was because he spent time with God, because he practiced Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Hey, when you're seeking, remember this. Life is about him. It's not about you. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, not your kingdom and your righteousness, his kingdom and his righteousness. Life is not about you. It's about him. It's about his will, his plan, his program, his agenda. We get that twisted a lot. We think that, well, God loves me and he does. God has a plan for me and he does. And even talking about the Lord wants you to be happy, he does, but he wants you to be happy doing his will. And you will be happy if you do his will, because his will is good and acceptable and perfect. See, you can't go do your own thing and say, but God wants me happy. It's like, well, God doesn't want you happy over there. There is no happiness over there. It's like the prodigal son. He left the father's house of happiness. Where does he go? He goes to find his own happiness. Where does he end up? At the pigsty. Because that's where that ends up. Anytime you go your own way, you end up at the pigsty. And you're getting ready to eat pig slop. And your life is a disaster. Why? Because I wandered away from my father. And with the Lord, that's where in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is the pearl of great price. He is the one. So it's about his kingdom and his righteousness, not my will and my plan. I'll give you an example. Acts chapter 12. You have the story of James. Remember Peter, James, and John. James is the brother of John. He's one of the big three. You read about the Lord had 12 disciples, and he had three that were in the inner circle, Peter and James and John. They were with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. James is arrested by Herod and put to death by the sword. Peter then is arrested. He's getting ready to lose his life, to be executed by Herod. But the angel comes and releases Peter from prison, and God rescues Peter. You're Mrs. James. What gives, God? You like Peter better than James? I mean, God, why did you do that? Why didn't you deliver James? It's God's plan. It's not our plan. His ways are higher than our ways, as we sang today. We don't know. We just trust him. Stephen was a great preacher, Acts chapter 7. He was stoned to death. I mean, he preached one main sermon in Acts chapter 7. How did they respond? They picked up stones and they stoned him to death and he was dead. Well, what gives, God? I mean, that guy could have really made an impact for the kingdom. Yeah, but this is my plan. I'm not doing your plan. I'm doing my plan. We just trust God. Hey, I encourage you to be praying for America. And if you've been keeping up, you know that Wednesday is a big day. And we don't know what's going to happen. We're praying and we're asking God. But see, so much of what's going on is kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were before King Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, bow to this idol. And he said, we don't need to give you an answer concerning this king. Our God whom we serve, he is able to deliver us and he will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, let it be known to you this day, we're going to still serve him. I don't know what God is going to do. I know I've been praying for truth and righteousness to prevail. But if God chooses something else, then we say, all right, Lord, we choose to follow you. We choose your plan. We may not understand it, but we choose your plan. And we're going to shine and share and be the people you want us to be. Hey, we can choose the right master. Second step, we can seek the right master. And third step, we can enjoy the right master. See, everything just falls into place when you choose the right master and when you seek the right master, because he says, and all these things will be added to you. All what things? All the things that you're worried about. All the things that the Gentiles eagerly seek. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we clothe ourselves? How are we going to have enough? God says, I'll provide for you. You don't need to be worried about that. I'll take care of all those things. You can just enjoy your relationship with me. God promises to bless. And to bless in three areas. Number one is with his presence. That's the greatest blessing of all, his presence. that he would be with us. The Bible says, in his presence, Psalm 16:11, is fullness of joy, and in his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God says, I'll be with you if you seek his face. 2 Chronicles 7:14, and my people who are called by my name, if they'll humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face. Why is it so important to seek God's face? Lots of people seek God's hand. Lord, what can you give me? What can you do for me? I seek your hand, Lord, because your hand is the hand that doles out good things. God says, if that's all you want from me is my stuff, then forget it. But if you seek my face, who I am, you want to have a relationship with me. Here's the wonderful thing. If you seek God's face, you get God's face and God's hand. You get everything that God has. He will bless you abundantly. Why? Because God is a good God, and God loves and longs to bless us. But God will not be used by us. So if you really love God, if you really want God, then you seek his face and you get the blessings of God. When the Lord came to Solomon and said, ask me anything and I'll give it to you. And Solomon said, Lord, give me a wise and discerning heart so I'd be a good king. And the Lord said, because you have asked for this and you have not asked for riches, nor long life, nor punishment to your enemies, you've asked for a wise and discerning heart. I've given you a wise and discerning heart. And by the way, I've given you riches and honor like no one's ever seen before. And Solomon was the wealthiest man who ever lived. You seek God's face, you get God's face and God's hand, his presence. Secondly, he'll bless you with his provision. All these things that you need, he's going to provide for you. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, he doesn't say he's going to provide your greeds. He says he'll provide for your needs. Whatever you need, he will provide. David said this in Psalm 37, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his children begging bread. Hey, listen, we don't know what this new year holds. Jesus said, hey, each day has enough trouble of its own. There are cares and there are problems down the pike. They're there. You just know they're there. In the world, you have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Hey, God says, I will take care of you. And you're not going to have to worry about what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall put on. Look at the birds. You see the birds? The birds don't worry. They do work, but they don't worry. And God feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? If I feed the birds, don't you think I'd feed my old children, my own children? Don't you think I would take care of you? And the answer is, of course. So he'll bless us with his presence, with his provision, and then he'll bless us with his peace. Do not be anxious, verse 34, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, that's a little play on words in the Greek. Therefore, do not be anxious. Don't be careful or have cares about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I like what Corrie ten Boom says. Worry does not empty tomorrow of today's sorrow. Of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength. You know, worry is always future. Have you ever noticed that about worry? Worry is never in the past. Nobody's worried about things that happened yesterday. You're worried about things that'll happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. I might lose my job. I don't know what's going to happen with this sickness. I don't know what's going to happen with this, with that, with the other. We're worried about things in the future, things we don't know about. We don't worry about the past. The Lord says, don't do that. Just live in today. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may never come. All you have is today. Live it for the glory of God. Seek him first. Put him first and trust him to provide for you. And he'll bless you with his peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, such a great verse. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. Every circumstance, no matter what happens to you in this year, the God of peace will be with you. And peace is available to you as you trust him. Now I want to close with this story. The legend tells us about a wise man who lived in a particular village. He seemed to have all the answers for everybody's problems. He was the wise old man, and people would travel long distances to hear his wisdom. Well, a boy in one of the villages, he knew about the wise man, and he wanted to stump the wise man. He thought that would be fun. One day he found a little bird that had fallen out of the nest, and he was able to catch that bird, and he was able to hold that bird in his hand. And he said, I'm going to go see the wise man. He said, I'm going to take that bird, and I'm going to put it behind my back, and I'm going to say, hey, Mr. Wise Man, I have a bird behind my back. Will you tell me if that bird is alive or dead? He said, if the wise man says he's alive, I'm going to crush him and show the wise man that he's dead. If the wise man says he's dead, I'm going to open my hand and let the bird fly out and show the wise man that he was wrong. And so he goes to the wise man. He has the bird behind his back. And he said, hey, Mr. Wise Man, I have a bird behind my back. Can you tell me, is that bird alive or is that bird dead? And the wise man looked at him and he said, that bird is as you choose. You hold in your hand the new year. Is it going to be a happy new year? Or is it going to be a sad, miserable, unhappy new year? It is as you choose.
We hope these have been encouraging and inspiring insights for you. And if you'd like a copy of this message to listen to again or to share with a friend who needs it, simply go online to fromhisheart.org and click the Listen tab. We received this encouraging testimony from a listener and wanted to share it with you today. It says, Hello, Pastor Jeff. I call you Pastor because you have truly become my pastor. My mother discovered your radio program a couple of years ago and kept telling me to check you out. She knows that I'm always in need of good English preaching. We've lived in Southeast Asia for 18 years now, and I speak the language here fluently. Over here, I hear the Word of God in a foreign language and understand it, but there's nothing like hearing it preached in your own native English tongue. After the urging of my mother, I finally found you online and started listening. Holy cow, I was blown away! God has taught me and spoken to me in such incredible ways through you. He has used you as a mighty channel to speak to my heart and deepen my relationship with God. I've been listening daily for nearly 2 years now, and I honestly look to you as my personal pastor. I listen literally for hours a day. You keep me personally grounded in God's Word as I lead others to Christ. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your commitment. I pray you stay true to God's Word and never compromise, as so many others are doing so. People all around the world are being incredibly blessed by you, and I just wanted you to know it. God bless you, Pastor Jeff. Your friend, Christy. What a boost to hear something like that, and assurance that all that is broadcast, God is using to change hearts and homes for His glory. Of course, this is only possible because of people like you who are blessed by the program and want to support From His Heart, from which Pastor Jeff receives no income. If God is impressing upon you to start this year off by supporting From His Heart on a regular basis, we would love that. To find out how to do that, go online to fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE. And no words can express our deep thanks. We have a special gift of thanks for your support today when you call 866-40-BIBLE or go online to fromhisheart.org. Well, our time is gone for today. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to join us tomorrow when Pastor Jeff Shreve begins the first series of the year. It's called Written in Stone, A Study of the Ten Commandments. That's on Wednesday, when we'll again open God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love. to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at FromHisHeart.org.